Jackson, do we still have a podcast?
As long as we want it to have one.
I do want it to have one, so we should probably do the podcast.
Maybe now and then.
Yeah. Well, welcome, okay. Everybody, to Through Imperialize. I am your host, Brayden Ledbetter.
I'm your co-host, Jackson DeLean.
We haven't done this in a while, because...
Brayden's been dead.
There's been so many things happening in my life that I really need to talk about, and we will get to that here shortly. But before we do that, what the heck has been up with you, Jackson, for the past few weeks?
Not a lot.
Your iconic line, not a crazy amount.
Not a lot. I have been playing Lego Star Wars Skywalker Saga.
The Skywalker
Saga.
The Scumpy Skywalker Saga.
Yeah. Sorry to everybody who was actually paying attention, but I botched both attempts at trying to record a video of it. And I just gave up. I gave up. I may drop one later, but no, I gave up in trying to release it within my window.
Oh, man. All those people that you tease with our Twitter accounts.
It's okay. One day they'll get something.
Yeah.
I'm still working on Midnight Horizon. I think I have like 3 chapters left. I've just been lazy.
Still working on Fallen Star.
Yeah, it'd be like that. Not a whole lot else. Lego Star Wars has really been the big thing. How much have you played of it?
I'm like a little over halfway through Phantom Menace, and that's it, because I had to leave to go out of the country.
Right,
like, and then happened 2 days after it released.
Then you haven't completed a whole episode. They're quick. They're pretty fast.
I had one sit down to play, and I was already almost done with Phantom Menace.
All of the episodes are pretty much like that. I'm like halfway through Force Awakens right now.
What did you start with?
With Phantom Menace.
Gotcha.
So I've played all the other trilogies. Yeah. Apparently Last Jedi, like, they do it dirty. Apparently Last Jedi, like, the pacing is terrible. Oh, yeah. Man. That was my biggest gripe, is that I think its pacing is really bad.
Too fast? Like, it doesn't give you a chance to...
Well, too fast in the sense of, like, if you had never watched Star Wars before, you would have no idea what's happening. Mm. Like, little things being referenced and, like, small stuff with jokes, and the level kind of, like, structure's weird. Like, there's no Battle of Coruscant. You would think, like...
Did you play mumble mode or dialogue?
I've played dialogue. I'll play with mumble mode later. I haven't touched anything like that. I've been kind of playing around with the free roam, but... the pacing was my biggest one. Empire Strikes Back was pretty good, but the level structure was weird.
I found a thing with all the cheat codes for all the, like, this exclusive characters.
Yeah. I think I'm caught up with all of those too. I think it's weird the Emperor is one of them.
Yeah. Like, I got the Christmas Vader because in 2020 I bought the Lego advent calendar, and it came with the code for the Christmas Vader.
Yeah. Those codes are out. I have all the Christmas characters. The C-3PO is my favorite, 'cause he has a Santa beard.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I'm trying to think. There was Mr. Bones from Aftermath. Yeah. He's one of them.
Have you read Aftermath? I don't remember.
No, but I have it. It's on my list.
I read
list.
It when it first came out in 2015, and I wasn't a big fan. I thought it was like going to tease like The Force Awakens. It kind of did, but not as much as I thought it would.
I've heard the trilogy's really good, but... It's like I'd have to dedicate myself to a full trilogy.
Chuck Wendig's writing is also kind of odd. Like, you got to warm up
to
it.
I've really heard that.
He writes in the present tense,
which is cool. That's a change of pace for me.
Yeah.
I'm trying to finish Midnight Horizon. I've really enjoyed it. I just am not in a reading kick right now.
I haven't been in a reading kick all year.
Yeah, that's fair.
I think I like did myself dirty by reading like 5 Star Wars books last year when we started the podcast.
Yeah, I get
and
that.
And I'm like, oh, I have to keep reading. Out. Yeah.
Yeah. I really want to finish Midnight Horizon, because then I want to pick back up Legends Thrawn trilogy.
Yeah.
And like I think that'll get my interest back in. And then I'm going to try and read all my canon books. So eventually I'll get to the Aftermath trilogy.
Gotcha. Yeah, I think book-wise, like not even just Star Wars, just books in general, I actually listened to this audiobook, like this really cool filmmaking audiobook. I've just been listening to it like on my way to and from work. Mm-hmm. That's like the only thing I've been doing like book-wise, but...
Yeah. Yeah, I'm listening to a podcast that I have about less than 100 episodes left into it. And I'll probably start another podcast, but I'll pick back up some audiobooks. I really want to listen to Dooku Jedi Temple or Jedi Lost. Jedi Lost. And Dr. Aphra. I found out like what Dr. Aphra's like plot was, and it got me interested.
Cool.
In the audiobook. So yeah, other than that, that's about it. You got to share.
Well, yeah, tell me everything. To talk about.
Tell me everything.
So
I'm going to leave and go get snacks.
For those who don't know, at the beginning of this month, well, not really the beginning of this month, like this is like around April 8th or 9th. I flew out to Italy because my fiance's sister lives in Italy and they just had a kid. So we just went to visit them for like 10 days. And
I'm going to interject real quick. Is she military or just lives in Italy?
No, she just lives in Italy because
that's cool.
Like she studied Italian in college and like studied abroad in Italy. And like the way they met was she was staying in this hostel in Istanbul, Turkey. Mm-hmm. And they met there and they like traveled the countryside on his Vespa.
Wow.
And like, that's kind of how that's like how their story is. It's really wow. like a romantic story.
Yeah. That's super cool. That's cute.
Yeah. And she's living over there and they just had a baby last March. But while we were there, got to see a few cool Star Wars related things. So first off, we went to Lake Como, which is this really, really beautiful big lake with like mountains and stuff around it in Italy. And we got to see this really cool villa, which is the place, which is Naboo, essentially. It's where a lot of the Naboo stuff for Attack of the Clones, for a lot of the iconic things in Attack of the Clones was shot. It's the iconic, I don't like sand. That line and like that whole exchange was shot like right outside the villa by there's like an exit to like, we did like a tour of the villa. Mm-hmm. It was really cool. There was like this Italian explorer that owned it.
Wow.
I think his name was like Mr. Monzingo or something like that. Anyway, he was the first Italian. He led the first Italian, trip to like the expedition to Mount Everest, like up to the top of Mount Everest.
Wow.
But he like was a big collector and like had a bunch of cool stuff in his villa. And outside they had like the really cool like fountain with the really cool stone like railing with the, oh my, I couldn't believe how awesome it was. And the weather was just perfect too. Not a single cloud in the sky. It was like 80, it's like almost 80 degrees.
Yeah. That picture you guys took at the, sand spot is beautiful, beautiful picture. Yeah.
And then there's also, you know, the spot where it's like Anakin stands on like that. It's almost like a balcony. Where he's like meditating and it's like the pillars with like the vines on them. That place is also at the villa. And it looks like in the movie, it looks like it's on like the top of like this building, like this tower. It's really just like on ground level. It's like weird.
That's funny.
That was cool. It was just really cool to see those, like be at those places in person and be like, oh my God, I'm literally standing on Star Wars history
Take yourself back and think of all the crew members and people like, walking around.
I was like, dude, they had to lug so much film gear and people to this, like essentially a lakeside. Like it's like you have to walk up a huge hill. Wow. To get to this villa. It's like, how did they lug all this crap here in 2001 or 2000 whenever they shot that? It's crazy. I got a dark barking dog in the background, but just ignore that.
Fine. He's excited about Attack of the Clones.
Yeah, I think so too. I got ended up getting some really cool photos. I just right before the trip, I bought a new 35 millimeter film camera.
Very cool.
It's a Canon AE-1. Very, very cool.
That's so cute.
I was shooting some like portrait 800. I was shooting some really cool film.
That's awesome.
Those get in tomorrow, so I get to see the results of my picture taking. Anyway, it was really cool to like be just like in the essence of Star Wars history. And that was all fun. That was cool. A couple days later, we went back to this other town in Italy called Torino. And there was this really cool cinema museum. There was like this really cool exhibit where you like walked through and like saw like the history of like the birth of like the projector and like the birth of like moving images and stuff. And like it progressed all the way up to like modern cinema. It was really cool. There's a lot of cool like historic film costumes on display and a lot of really cool stuff. But while I was there, I just happened to run into like this Star Wars display. I posted about this on our Twitter. One, there was the original photo of George standing around all of the stuff, you know, the iconic photo of him in ILM with like all the props and characters stuff behind him. That was really cool. I saw a copy. It's not a copy. It's actually the original Italian Star Wars 1977 poster.
That's cool.
Super, super cool. And then I saw this display case with like a Vader helmet in it and a Stormtrooper helmet and like a C-3PO and a Chewbacca like mask. And it said that it was, they were pre-production like head masks of Darth Vader and C-3PO and Chewbacca and a Stormtrooper. And they were made from the original molds that were used in the film. And they were the samples that 20th Century Fox had. Like they got sent so they could approve like the production of Star Wars essentially. And like a lot of the licensed items that ended up getting sold, you know, as promotion and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So that was really cool to just see in general.
Yeah.
But yeah, I had a super dope time and I was really geeking out, but it's also really hard when you're in a country where you don't speak the native language. It's like, kind of gets frustrating when you can't communicate with people.
I believe that.
It's like, man, like that's like the one thing, like it was beautiful, but I was like, man, I'm ready. After 10 days, I was like, man, I'm kind of ready to go home.
Yeah, like, honestly.
Once I landed back in Chicago, I was like, oh my God, I can read the signs and I can understand what people are saying. Cause like now I know how like people who like
felt like I'm going insane.
Yeah. It's like, and I know how people who like have to come to America.
Yeah.
You like don't speak any English. I know how like isolating and like how like
intense.
Yeah. And like frustrating that probably is for like a lot of people who have to come here just like for whatever reason. But either way, that was basically like, that's going to be like the highlight of my year this year.
Yeah, for sure.
And that wasn't even my first time in Italy, but that was my first time like actually seeing, being at a Star Wars set, right, like a Star Wars actual filming location. That was super cool to see.
That was super cool. Yeah. What a cool story.
Yeah. Other than that, I did purchase, last thing I have is I did purchase a really cool book called George Lucas, A Life.
Oh, I've heard that.
Yeah. I actually saw it in our Star Wars book Facebook group that we're in.
Oh, that's cool.
Someone posted about it. I was like, what is this? And I looked it up. I was like, this seems really interesting. And I went on Amazon and bought it. So that just came in. I'm probably going to read that after I finish Fallen Star. I'm
trying to think what I bought. Another of those model things. I bought a TIE fighter and a TIE bomber. It's sitting on my little higher public shelf. You know, Walmart sells their own versions of those. They sell like X-Wings and B-Wings are little models. Yeah. I'm trying to think. I think that's really it of what I've been doing. Not a lot.
Cool. Yeah, me too. So, haven't been doing that much. I mean, come on.
Oh, I watched Empire of Dreams recently.
It's a funky little documentary.
It was interesting.
Yeah, you could definitely tell it was made in 2004.
Oh, I completely agree. Yeah, I thought it was funny listening to a lot of the stuff and being like, they don't even address Carrie Fisher's like drug abuse in Return of the Jedi. They're like, yeah, Return of the Jedi was great. And mm-hmm. I was like, the first 3 months of that were scrapped. What are you talking about? Like, I thought that was really funny how.
If you're interested in that, I highly recommend reading The Princess Diarist by Carrie Fisher.
Is that her final memoir?
I think so.
Because that's the one she talks about having a love affair with Harrison Ford.
Yeah, that's like basically what the book itself is about. But she also touches on like a lot of her drug abuse and stuff.
That's cool. Honestly, I might read that. Yeah,
I read through it in one day.
She was the best part of that documentary because like everyone's all like, oh, yeah, it changed the world. It was cinema at its finest. And Carrie Fisher was like, they wouldn't let me wear a bra on a movie set because I think that they were all men. I don't know. It was fun, I guess.
She's but. Like, because George Lucas says there's no underwear in space.
Yeah, I just thought that was really funny.
Yeah. I think we got some news to get to, though. Let's go through it.
So we're going to start off the bat. Star Wars Visions is rumored to return with more shorts this year. Cinelinx is reporting that they have it on good authority that Star Wars Visions Season 2 is set to arrive in the autumn of 2022 release window, with multiple independent sources confirming that there is a future for the series. Details are naturally vague, as often proves to be the case for most unannounced Lucasfilm projects, but the reports indicate that some of the shorts that were in the first season may get continuations as part of the new batch of Star Wars anime, with their respective studios returning to keep telling those stories. That being said, it is not clear which animation studios are involved with the show, and it is not clear whether about which stories will continue. Let me ask you, what ones do you want to see continuations from? And if you want the new ones to be made, in the same sense as like season one was all Japanese studios, are you wanting to see different countries make Star Wars animations? You know,
I think if it's sticking to this, you know, anime style, I think you kind of have to stick with a lot of the Japanese studios.
For sure.
I'm not against like them reaching out to even more of these animation studios and having them come on board. As for some things that I think would be cool to see some continuation of, definitely I think the duel would be fun to have another, short in that kind of world, in that kind of like, you know, Kurosawa style Star Wars would be
super
cool.
Same characters, or you want like
I just think something in that universe, you know, whether it is the same characters or not. I just think that'd be interesting. I'm gonna get a lot of hate for this, but I want more Tatooine Rhapsody, dude. I know I'm in a minority.
Like
I love Tatooine
on
Rhapsody.
Galactic tour, like they go to different planets.
Give me all of that.
It'd be fun. It'd be fun.
And also, you know, give me more Village Bride.
I'd be down for more Village Bride. I think that'd be cool. I really want more Lopin Ocho. I thought that was the one that had a really promising story. And Ninth Jedi. I think Ninth Jedi needs to be a movie.
I agree.
You know, I'll tell you this. This sounds somewhat to what we kind of talked about a season two would be. I don't know on what episode, but back when Visions was out, we talked about how Visions, if they continued it, it would be more new studios and they just kind of progress the other stuff in their own dynamic. That kind of sounds like what they're doing here is continuing the episodes and bringing in new stuff. But I almost wonder if the continuation episodes, if they do well enough, they may just end up. I kind of like the idea of like the Star Wars anime medium. Like, oh yeah, like there's the movies, there's the animated shows, there's the books, and there's the anime. You know, like there's different sections of Star Wars media that you can intake.
I wish the anime was canon.
Like, it can be. Like, I don't see a problem. I think Visions is an interesting way to introduce it, but that doesn't mean that they can't make a movie or a TV show that is canon anime.
That's true.
You know? I think it would be really cool if you made, like, Alphabet Squadron in an anime. You know, something like that, that it's all about, like, it doesn't have to be big flashy. That's kind of what Visions is all about, is exploring the different sides of the Force. But then you could have like a character driven anime and it's all about like the rebellion and the war, you know.
I want to see, just thinking about it now, the potential that like a Darth Plagueis anime would have is
See, that's what I'm saying. Like you could do the Darth Bane trilogy as an anime.
Oh, dude.
That would be cool. All of the Old Republic stuff.
Although I do want to see a live action Darth Bane series.
That would be really cool.
That would be dope. Adapt those Drew Karpyshyn books.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's really cool. I'm excited for more Visions. I do hope the rumor's true that it's this year. I could totally see it dropping in the middle of like, when did it come out?
It does not take nearly as long to produce that kind of animation.
Different studios making it too.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that's fast. When did season one come out? September 21st?
Yeah, it was literally the day that I closed on my house. So I think that's funny. Exactly September 21st.
You could totally drop it 1 year, you know?
Yeah.
Same. So that's cool. What else we got? Cool.
Moving on here. We got some Bryce Dallas Howard teasing Ahsoka. So she recently co-hosted an event with the chocolate company Lindt. The conversation shifted towards The Mandalorian after Dave Filoni's name was brought up. The writer's son said how much he loved the Clone Wars, to which Bryce Dallas Howard replied, "Without giving anything away, you're going to love the Ahsoka show that's coming up. I cannot tell you anything, but what I can say is that you being a fan of the Clone Wars will be greatly rewarded." I think this kind of confirms one. I mean, we're already confirmed. Hayden Christensen is already confirmed for Ahsoka, but I think we're getting flashbacks with Anakin in the Clone Wars armor. He's going to be, we're going to get a lot of hopefully emotionally in-depth scenes with them and like really feeding off of a lot of stuff that happened in the Clone Wars in this live action version of Ahsoka.
Do you think we will see more new scenes within the Clone Wars time?
I hope so.
Or do you think it'll be like straight like recreations?
I don't know if it would be smart for them to recreate things we've already seen.
I think the only thing that they could do would be the scene of Ahsoka leaving and Anakin and her on the Jedi steps. I think that's the only scene that I could work.
How cool would it be to see a live action Anakin reacting to like Ahsoka
that scene?
Leaving?
Yeah, I think that'd be really cool. Yeah, I think you're right. This definitely just kind of confirms everything that we thought about, which I'm down for. I hope Kenobi does it too. I hope Kenobi has it and they haven't really talked to us.
I think if we don't get it in Kenobi, I will be less like disappointed because I know we'll be getting it in Ahsoka.
Do we have that thing I saw about, let me look at it real quick. No, Rupert Friend, Rupert, the guy who's playing the Grand Inquisitor, he talked about a lot of cool cameos in Kenobi.
Oh, yeah, that's our next news story.
Is it really? Am I? Well, that was a Liam Neeson thing, but I didn't see if. There it is. Okay. Right. I'm sorry. My PDF blended it with my Bryce Dallas Howard. All right. Well, then I guess let's go on to the next piece.
Let's do it. Go ahead.
Rupert Friend teases Obi-Wan Kenobi. Friend talked about Ewan McGregor does things with Kenobi that with a Kenobi role that will be a dream for fans of the original films. He also said that we should expect some cameos and Easter eggs. He had to say this when asked how excited fans should be about Obi-Wan Kenobi. Quote, "If it's possible to be any more excited than folks already are, I would be. I think it's one of the most thrilling additions to the Star Wars canon. I think Ewan McGregor is doing things with the role that is a dream for fans of the original films. We can't obviously have Alec Guinness back, but I just think Ewan was absolutely born to play that part. But wonderful cameos from people I obviously can't tell you. Easter eggs galore. And yeah, it's a thrilling ride." I think it's obviously Qui-Gon. We'll talk about that the next news piece. I think that's kind of the obvious one. But I think Ahsoka's going to be in it. I think Ahsoka's going to maybe have like a scene. Like there's going to be a flashback scene that's more focused on Anakin, but someone shows up and it's like Ahsoka. Even if it is like a, "Hey, Master Kenobi, hey, Master Skywalker," and goes on about her day. But I think that's, I think that's a very possible thing. I thought maybe Mace Windu makes a small little appearance. I'm thinking flashbacks, you know, like that's where my mind is if we get Clone Wars stuff, who do we see in Clone Wars? I think we could see Yoda.
I was going to say, if I had to pick two, like kind of there's above 80% chance that they're going to be showing up. I think it's Qui-Gon and Yoda.
I agree.
Because I think, you know,
I think those are also people he could talk to, like with the Force without flashbacks.
Right. So and like, who both. Does Obi-Wan go to besides those? Right. The only two right. people exactly. he trusts, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I that's kind of what I took away from that piece of it. But yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
you want to kind of branch off with that?
When it comes to like Easter eggs and stuff too, I think we're going to be getting, it just depends on what he means by Easter eggs galore. That could mean like a character from the animated show comes, or like a thing from an animated thing, or a thing from a book comes in, like, you know.
Think about like the Inquisitors. What from Rebels will we see in this? Maybe the, I hope the helicopter blades.
I think obvious, so. They won't obvious, show that.
I wonder if we'll see Trilla.
Nah.
Maybe like a small cameo, but like probably not like an acting character.
Yeah.
Because in the trailer, there's the shot of the Inquisitors sitting at the big table, like at the whatever their super temp fortress place is. Yeah. I almost picture like, what if there's what if she's like they just finish a meeting or something like that, and like maybe some of them hologram in like Ki Edimundi, but it's Trilla, you know, like it's Trilla, and like, oh, there's the other Inquisitor, who's the girl from the other one from Fallen Star, that's Ninth Sister.
Maybe we'll see Fallen her. Order.
Yeah. I say Fallen Star. Yeah. I'm off my game today. We haven't talked Star Wars in a minute.
I don't remember what her name is.
I think it is Ninth, but I don't know the Inquisitors all that well. I do want to read the Vader comics before I start Kenobi. I think that's going to be my goal, is to try and work through all the Charles Soule's ones. Work like through 2015 and up.
Yeah, I've heard really good things about the Vader comics.
Like I have too.
Really in-depth.
I've heard Charles Soule does a really good job at like going with Vader, you know, because he did not the 2015. I think he did the 2017 line and on, and he ends up doing like Star Wars Adventures and all that. But I know a lot of people have really enjoyed his writing with Vader. And that's what I'm interested in. And that's all the Inquisitor stuff. All of his comics are the Inquisitor stuff. So,
well, cool. What is our next story?
So continuing on with Kenobi news, Liam Neeson says he's only interested in returning to Star Wars on the big screen. Sure, Liam, we'll talk about this. While out promoting his new movie Memory, Neeson spoke with comicbook.com, who opted to not ask the actor about any potential role in the upcoming Kenobi series. Instead asking if Neeson would consider coming back to Star Wars if given the chance, he said, quote, "Oh, I think so. Yeah, I think so. It was a film. Yeah, I'm a bit of a snob when it comes to TV. I must admit, I just like the big screen, you know. Qui-Gon, I can't believe it's been 24 years since we made Star Wars The Phantom Menace. I just cannot believe where the time has gone. It was a really terrific shooting that film in London." I don't believe anything Liam Neeson says, period. So like, let alone
it's going
like,
to be another Andrew Garfield with Spider-Man situation, you know?
I think it'll be
like,
I think that's
he's in the
one.
Show.
Yeah. He's like he has to be. If Dave Filoni knows anything about, if Dave Filoni knows anything about anything, like he has to understand that like Qui-Gon has to make an appearance, if anything, you know,
even just like a voice cameo is better than nothing.
Nothing. I agree. I definitely agree. And I think this article coming out, like in this time. Like, it almost feels like it's a planned article. Like, you know, like they didn't need to bother to actually go ahead and ask this. It almost feels like it's a marketing scheme. Like, Lucasfilm showed up to comic book and was like, ask this question, we'll go about our day. And they're like, okay, I guess.
Yeah. Well, it's also just the fact that every time, like, Liam Neeson's not going to say, yeah, I'm in it. You know,
for sure. For sure. I think this is a decent answer than just saying like, I'm not allowed to say, cause who was it that was like that, I think it was Kenobi News back before they really started announcing cast members for it. They were like, are you in Kenobi? And people were like, oh, I'm not allowed to say anything. But if I was, and you're like, yeah, then you're
I think that was, it must have been like Joel Edgerton or something.
It was something like that. Maybe Kenobi or Andor, but it was one of those shows. It
was somebody who was like very obvious, like, obviously you're going to be in the Kenobi show. And they were like, well, no comment. I can't say anything.
Yeah. They haven't said anything, but wink. And you're like, okay, wink. Thank you.
Yeah, I think, you know, Liam Neeson's going to be in Kenobi regardless.
Yeah.
Even if they had to hire somebody who sounds like Liam Neeson to be in, I think Qui-Gon's going to end up showing up in Kenobi.
Oh, you know what? Speaking of Liam Neeson voice actors, the voice actor for Qui-Gon in Lego Star Wars is kind of rough. It's kind of
so
rough.
So bad, dude.
I've heard Kylo Ren, they do him dirty. Like, Kylo Ren sounds nothing like Adam Driver. Yeah, I've heard the sequel trilogy characters are the ones that have it bad. Anyway.
Man, and that's what I was most excited for, too.
The original characters are good. The prequels are my favorite. They have Matt Lanter and I can't remember his name for Obi-Wan.
James Earl Taylor.
Yes.
Yeah, but I think for some reason the Qui-Gon voice sounds more like Dooku.
Yeah, I agree.
To me, it's so weird. But here's our next news story. Speaking of Star Wars games, a new Star Wars action adventure game is coming from the Uncharted creator, Amy Hennig. Lucasfilm Games and Skydance New Media have jointly announced a new Star Wars action-adventure is in development, and none other than Uncharted creator Amy Hennig is helming the project, and she was attached to Project Ragtag, which was the tentative title for the canceled Star Wars game since 2013, until its demise. Douglas Riley, VP of Lucasfilm Games, commented the following, quote, "We couldn't be more thrilled to be working again with Amy. She and the Skydance New Media team have the talent and ambition to create a unique Star Wars adventure, and their vision for making narrative-driven and engaging interactive entertainment makes this collaboration very exciting. We're working hard with their team of experienced and talented developers, and we're looking forward to sharing more with Star Wars fans when the time is right." So what are your thoughts on this? What are thoughts, speculations, whatever you can think of on this new action adventure game we're getting?
It's probably like a bounty hunter style game. I feel like
that's your go-to game speculation.
Because that's like the perfect Star Wars game.
I know.
Like, it is like an open world. I literally picture an Assassin's Creed game, but in the Star Wars universe.
I want Star Wars Uncharted.
And that's kind of where I'm getting with the bounty hunter vibe. I also thought that with the Ubisoft, but Ubisoft could also make like a Jedi maybe game. But Uncharted makes me think, ooh, what if it's a Han Solo game?
Ooh, that'd be cool.
That would be cool. That's very Uncharted. That's definitely the vibe I thought of, like a smuggler or a bounty hunter. Roughneck Star Wars, like that's what that vibe gives me with Uncharted, is like it's gonna be the realistic sense, you know, which I think is cool. I'm down for it. I like that we are getting different companies making it, and I like that we are in an age of like expanding the horizons with Star Wars games. I just wish they would also still do Battlefront games while they're doing all of this. Because I like turn off your brain, shoot 'em games, and Battlefront was perfect for that.
Yeah, I don't like those kind of games.
Which is fair. Which is very fair. And like this is, I'm glad that they are expanding like the styles of it. You know, I started playing Squadrons again. It's really fun, actually. It's really fun to just turn your brain off.
I feel like we've been getting a Star Wars game announcement like once a month at this point.
And I hope that they actually progress. I hope we aren't kind of seeing this is pretty much what happened right before Lucasfilm closed back in 2013, 15. whenever EA bought it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it was like 1313 canceled. And what was it here? Project Ragtag. Mm-hmm. It's like we had games that were in development that were gonna be big games, and then the deal closed it all, and EA got all the rights for it. I'm hoping this isn't repeating that, and I don't think it is, with EA's deal finally being done, and Lucasfilm developing its own gaming centric and expanding out. You know,
yeah, I don't see that happening, but I'm just worried that they're putting all of this into development.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you can't release 12 games in a year. So I wonder how they're going to.
Well, I was just about to ask you, how often do you think we'll see these releases? Because these are obviously just announcements. With us being in a new age of gaming with new consoles and things, I bet you we will see. Well, Eclipse is pretty much dead.
Yeah, that game.
Because what do we have? We've got Fallen Order 2. Sorry, I did it again.
Which we will be seeing stuff of at Celebration.
I think that's the first one to come. Of all of the new kind of games happening, that's the first one to come.
We have the open world kind of the Ubisoft game.
Whatever we have that is. Hunters. That'll come next, but that's small. You know, that's a mobile game. Switch, yeah. This. Do we have anything else? Is Squadrons getting more? I don't think so.
Was it there talk of like a High Republic game?
Isn't that technically what Eclipse was?
Oh yeah.
Eclipse is the High Republic game. Now, I think Eclipse will probably die and just won't be talked about.
Or they can just like rehouse it to another studio.
That's what I was going to say, or they just kind of move it somewhere else, which I think is cool. But even then, like
behind that is just not feasible though.
Well, they just had a cinematic trailer. There was nothing of the game that they actually could have produced. Yeah. So like, it's just easy just to start a new IP. And if you want to hire a public game, give it to someone else.
There's probably a contract with the studio that like says they get to, you know, make the thing. And like, probably, I'm sure the story is probably all copywritten to all that.
Right. Well, I'm more saying just kind of like era. Well,
I get what you're saying. Like, yeah. If it was as easy as just like, well, people
drag and click. Yeah.
Yeah. But you know, I'm all down for new Star Wars games. I just want something other than Battlefront or Star Wars Dark Souls. You know.
I agree. And now Star Wars Dark Souls would be more fun if it wasn't just hack and slash the animals.
Right. Yeah.
If it wasn't Jedi beat up zoo animals.
Yeah. And obviously like Lego Star Wars is fun, but like, I don't really consider that like an official Star Wars video game, you know?
I agree. And it is also very repetitive in itself. All of the boss fights are pretty much the same.
It's all, but like, Lego games are just really just button mashing and
they're kid games, yeah. You know, like they're meant to be easy. But yeah, I definitely agree. I definitely agree. I think Fallen Order 2 will be the next thing we see. Any kind of actual development on.
I agree.
So
yeah. Well, cool. What is next?
Up next, we have Hayden Christensen binged all of the animated Star Wars shows in preparation for Obi-Wan Kenobi. In a new conversation with Entertainment Weekly, who have spearheaded the series buzz outside the teaser trailer, Hayden Christensen briefly commented on the geekier side of his preparation for Obi-Wan Kenobi and putting on the Dark Lord suit again. Quote, I went back and rewatched all the films, and I also got into the animated shows, The Clone Wars and Rebels. It was interesting. They did a lot of these characters in the shows, and they did further explore the relationship. There was interesting stuff there to learn about. It was great fun seeing, it was great fun getting to go back and reimmerse yourself in this world that just continues to grow and become more and more vast. End quote. On top of Hayden Christensen's comments, this new EW piece also asked Obi-Wan veteran Ewan McGregor the same question. His research was a bit more traditional, but he did the essential homework. Quote, I watched them from start to finish, all 9 films, just to get back into that world, which I think it's funny Hayden also said that. It was interesting to watch our films because I hadn't seen them since they came out, not at all. So it was cool to see and interesting to watch them and enjoy them without all of that noise that was around them when they came out, end quote. I am very interested to know what arcs Hayden Christensen enjoyed the most, but my biggest question is, what did he think about Rebels animated Anakin?
I know.
Because that was rough.
I imagine, I'm just imagining Hayden Christensen sitting on the couch watching Clone Wars.
Being like, who is that?
Anakin comes up and he does the Leonardo DiCaprio meme with the, hey, he does that. Like, that's me. Yeah, we got to get Hayden on the podcast. no, but I think it's really I didn't expect Hayden to actually like dig into Clone Wars and Rebels for this.
Yeah.
So I think that's actually really cool of him that he did that research and, you know, he actually knows about all of the character arcs for Anakin that he didn't like the knowledge he did not have when actually playing Anakin. So it'd be cool for him to act with that in mind.
Yeah, you know? I agree. I saw a tweet that was a very Anakin and Obi-Wan situation, but it was, it said Hayden and it was the quote and it said, and then they faked, and then Obi-Wan like shaved his beard and hair off and cloned himself to look like this bounty hunter who presumably shot him and they didn't tell Anakin. And then it says, Ewan, that's nice, Hayden. That's very nice.
I always forget about that arc.
I think it's a crazy arc.
It's like, freaking insane.
They very obviously don't trust Anakin at all. And when I really think he could have been the first one to be like, hey, like, you just shut yourself off. Like, oh, yeah, like, hey, like Anakin's true reaction would have like made sense to sell the believability. But we're also in a war. Like, I think the offhand chance of like a Jedi dying would have been like, oh, yeah, it happens.
Yeah.
And like, just have Anakin, you know, just you have to chill at the temple while we do this mission because it makes sense. I don't know.
One thing that surprised me was Ewan said that this was probably his first time watching the prequels.
I bet you since they came out. Since the premieres, I bet you.
At first I was surprised, but then I realized it really sucks that all of the negativity around the prequels really kind of just like ruined Star Wars for him, I'm sure.
I bet you like Adam Driver is in that same boat.
Yeah.
He's already very critical of his work and doesn't like kind of seeing himself. I bet you he hasn't watched any of them like that. No, I get it.
Yeah, it's just really sad to think. Like, he even says like, it's so much easier now to just like sit back and enjoy them without everybody, you know, completely crapping on all those movies consistently and constantly. Like, it kind of helps that collectively people enjoyed Ewan out of anything in the prequels. A lot of people enjoyed Ewan, but it's just like, can you imagine being so excited to find you're in Star Wars, you got cast, you're making these really what you think are like really cool movies. And they come out and
they just tear them apart
and you just can't enjoy them anymore because you can't even walk outside without someone being like, oh, you're from the stupid Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
You know, George Lucas ruined my childhood.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm really glad that like he's kind of found his peace with it and is enjoying them again.
I'm glad we live in an age that the prequels really were re-looked at and understood.
I hope that ends up happening to the sequels in 10 years.
I think it already is happening with the sequels. I think that there are people who actually know what they watched and are able to spread the good gospel for years to come, you know?
I mean, I think even since starting this podcast, I've noticed that like even you have become a lot more appreciative of the sequels than you were.
Low key, can I tell you, I haven't played it yet, but I'm kind of not excited, but I want to play Rise of Skywalker and Lego Star Wars.
Yeah.
Like that's the one of the sequel trilogy I want
to
play.
I can't wait to do our commentary for Rise of Skywalker.
I know. And like before starting this podcast, I would not have thought that.
Yeah.
You know, I spat on the ground to Rise of Skywalker. And now if anything, I'm like, it's a pretty movie.
Yeah.
Like it's enjoyable. It's pretty, you know, it's blue.
I have a lot of fun every time I watch that movie. I don't care what people say about it or what the issues are with it. I have fun watching it every time.
I have fun in a weird sense, but I have fun.
I have fun every time. on this last couple stories here, we have some new promo art for Obi-Wan Kenobi that features a duel between Kenobi and Vader. The Obi-Wan Kenobi series debuts in a little over a month on Disney Plus, and the final marketing push is set to begin for the highly anticipated series, and we now have our first look at promotional artwork for the series that features Darth Vader and that rematch of the century Kathleen Kennedy talked about when describing Hayden Christensen's return in December 2020. The image, it's pretty basic. It just has like a Kenobi and Vader kind of morph together in between them. There's them with their lightsabers over their heads kind of dueling. Looks pretty cool. It looks like it's going to be a lot of the packaging for some of the promotional material and things like that. But my question for you is what kind of like promotional material do you think we'll be getting for Kenobi? Like any, you think we'll be getting some like exclusive Kenobi like toys or action figures or Black Series or anything like that?
I bet you we will see Black Series of new Kenobi look. I bet you he'll have like a look that like we'll get a figure of the Inquisitors.
The fat head Grand Inquisitor.
Yeah. Probably not a Vader. That doesn't make sense. If we see a Vader, it's going to be like a, I think it'll be like a busted up Vader. Cause like a Vader figure is pretty easy to just do, you know, like one copies the rest.
But if it has the Obi-Wan Kenobi logo on it, people are going to want
it. For sure. I think that they maybe will do like a broken mask and like maybe he'll get kind of beat up in the show. And that's the figure that they'll do. Yeah. We'll probably get like, you know, the, like they're, I think they're like 12 inch characters and they only like move like the elbows and leg joints and like, they're really like static kind of figures, but they sell them at like Walmart, you know? Mm-hmm. I think we'll get stuff like that. I definitely see like Obi-Wan branding for sure of like Walmart and Target, but I almost wonder if we'll get Lego sets.
Be cool.
I think we would have probably heard about that already if we were.
I hope if it does come to Target or Walmart, we'll get more than two total toys in the aisle whenever we go.
I've been seeing a lot more Black Series as of lately.
I've been seeing a lot more Black Series, but it's just like...
So still the same.
Lando, Queel, Greef Karga, and then sometimes I'll see like a Bo-Katan or I'll see like a... You know, a wild card here and there.
Walgreens is the only place I see a Queel. Target always has a Lando, a Greef Karga, but they've also been carrying Carbon Series, Mandalorian, Paz Vizsla.
Yeah.
Is it Paz Vizsla, the Scout Trooper, and a Shore Trooper. My GameStop had an Episode 3 Obi-Wan there.
Oh, dang.
And I almost got it. My GameStop's been really stocked up on figures. And then them and the Walmart have been running Episode 4 Leia's, which I've kind of been thinking about getting, like the white outfit. But yeah, I thought that was kind of, I was like, damn, look, there's some good ones.
Friend of the show, Steven Berta, we hit up a Saga Toys a couple weeks ago, and he ended up picking up an Aura Sing and Cad Bane Black Series.
Oh, that Cad Bane's cool. That's really cool.
Because he's collecting all the bounty hunters.
Yeah.
So he has everybody, I think, besides Dengar. And I think a couple more. But he has like IG-88, Boba Fett, Cad Bane, Aura Sing, a couple more people.
Is there a Zam Wessel Black Series?
No, but there is a Zam Wessel, like, Attack of the Clones era action figure at Saga Toys.
Oh, okay, that's cool. I really want to collect Mandalorians. I really want, like, Jango and a Bo-Katan. And yeah. I really, like, real talk, gun to my head, like, what I'm trying to get right now is the Mandalorian Death Watch Trooper, the all blue Death Watch. That's the next figure I want. I haven't bought a figure in a minute, but like that's what I want. But yeah.
Well, cool. What is our last story here?
So the Acolyte has a rumored casting, describes two new characters series reportedly starting to film in October. The Illuminati, who broke the scoop that Amanda Stenberg was cast as the lead character to the series, codenamed Aura, have now returned with details on two other characters that will form the ensemble for the Acolyte. Here's what they know. Paul is a male, white, 50 years old. The role is described as a series regular, but only needed for one season. Sounds like Paul's going to get killed in the end. and Paul. Miri, a female, black, 8 to 10 years old. The role is described as a lead guest star with Lucasfilm possibly looking for identical twins to portray their character. According to the Illuminati's report, the Leslie Headland developed series will film from October 2022 through May 2023. It's possible that the other rumored High Republic era show, codenamed Grammar Rodeo, will begin filming first, given the rapid movements on the production. Thoughts?
Well, this kind of goes to show that we're probably not getting this show until late 2023.
At the earliest, I agree.
At the earliest, like, I'm saying, like, mm-hmm. December 2023.
Which makes sense.
Yeah.
Because that's probably going to be the end of High Republic Phase 3.
Yeah.
Which I found out is supposed to go back to the characters we know from Phase 1.
Great.
Because there are plots that are introduced within Fallen Star that do not get resolved, that are apparently supposed to be resolved in Phase 3.
Dude, can you imagine, like, some characters that we know from High Republic popping in the Acolyte?
I think it's very possible.
Be kind of cool.
I think it's very possible, for sure.
I really hope this show ends up really accentuating people of color.
I agree.
In the lead ensemble. I think that would be really cool, and it's something that we haven't gotten in a Star Wars show before. And it seems like
Boba Fett.
Yeah, I guess most of that entire ensemble is people of color. I guess we're getting even more representation now, especially with, like, Amanda Stenberg being non-binary and, you know, being the first non-binary lead in the Star Wars.
I get what you're saying. But, like, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I think it'll be, and hopefully this show ends up being, like, super good and very successful. Because I really want that for a lot of people, the people involved. And this has been, like, low-key one of my most anticipated shows that was announced from that big investors meeting.
And I think from the very beginning,
and the more I hear about it, the more I'm like, yeah, I'm on board.
I really hope this show shines a good light on High Republic era, and it really, like, it explodes from there. That I really hope that people want more of this, and they make movies, TV shows, and video games, and that's all they're like, but, you know, like, you like the TV show, you got to read, you know, the phases, you know, the High Republic phases. And so very cool, very exciting. I want to know what Grammar Rodeo is.
Yeah, dude.
I've been thinking about that a lot, of what it could be.
What is that?
Well, I think, like, the High Republic really helps. I have a couple of ideas, but the big one is that it's hyperspace.
Oh, that's right.
The hyperspace rush, which is also what I think Phase 2 is going to be. Do you see they announced the cover for the first Phase 2 book?
Yeah, I did see that.
It's beautiful. It's one of my favorite covers so far. And I'm really already very interested to see what that's going to be.
I just hope, like, it's better than the cover of the cover of Fallen Star.
Yeah, I mean, the out of print edition that I have slaps.
Oh, that's so good. But I mean, just like the,
yeah, I agree. The casual.
I didn't like the Rising Storm cover, like the OG cover. That's why I had to get the Target exclusive.
The cover was so much better. I agree. Target's had really good variant covers for sure.
Yeah, but all of, like, the base covers for, like, the past few High Republic books have just been kind of poopy.
The meh. I agree. Yeah.
But hey, that doesn't say anything about the content of the books, because Rising Storm was, like, my favorite High Republic book. So But I think that kind of wraps it up for us for this week. We had a lot to catch up on. This is probably going to be a little bit of a longer episode.
That's cool.
But yeah, I think we can kind of sign off here. If you'd like to find us anywhere you want on the social medias, you can always find us on Instagram at Through Imperialized Pod, Twitter at Imperialized Pod, and YouTube. You can just search Through Imperialized Podcast. We'll pop up there. Maybe we'll have some more things coming to our YouTube here pretty soon around Kenobi time. Maybe. Who knows? Next week we'll find you.
I'm sitting right here. you can find me on Twitter at QuacksonScaling. It's QUACKSON and scaling like the triangle. And you can follow my photography Instagram, even though I don't really post on it anymore, at Dalen _ photography. It's DALEEN _ photography. Braden, what about you?
As always, you can find me on Instagram at Braden Ledbetter and Braidathlon on Twitter. And do not forget to check out my Letterboxd. I'm watching a lot of stuff, reviewing a lot of stuff. I watched a lot of stuff on the plane. I watched House of Gucci. Terrible. Don't watch that movie.
Really?
Oh my dude, my favorite part was whenever they sat in the room and talked. And then you can't forget about the other part where they also sat in the room and talked for a little bit.
What did you expect?
Not to mention them sitting in the room and talking. Oh, but they kind of mix it up and they sit in a cafe and talk.
On a Ridley Scott topic, I heard The Last Duel slap, so if anything, watch that.
I've heard the opposite of that.
Really?
Yeah. But yeah, House of Gucci, nah. And I watched Spencer, and Kristen Stewart
Spencer's
is amazing.
Good. I saw that in theaters, yeah.
Yeah, she is amazing in that movie.
That was a great movie.
Watched that on the plane, the way that movie was intended to be watched, I'm sure.
Not in the car.
Yeah. But yeah, been watching all that. You can check me out on Letterboxd at BLedbetter and see what I'm doing over in the video world at my day job at Vat19 on YouTube. And please don't be shy. Check out that Apple Podcast, that Spotify, that Google Podcast, that Overcast, whatever you got to use. Please subscribe, leave that review, leave that rating. It really helps out the show and lets us know that you'd like or dislike what we're doing. And we will be doing some more stuff. Hopefully Jackson will do some Lego Star Wars stuff at some point.
Yeah, I'll figure it out. I've started doing 10-hour work days. I start next week.
Ooh, that's what I've been doing for the past 6 months, baby.
I'll be getting a third day off. I'm real excited for it.
Ooh, yeah, dude. Yeah. You're going to just
wait. I'm going to love it.
You're not going to want to go
back.
I know.
I'm so excited.
You're not gonna wanna, I've been doing 4-day work weeks for the past 6 months. It's been insanely good.
Cool. Good. I'm so glad.
Yeah. And yeah, but please be sure to check us out next week. We're going to be more consistent with our episodes now that all of the hectic
now
thing
that
is behind
not
us.
Dead anymore.
Yeah, all of the hectic stuff is behind us. But until then, we'll be talking about some more Star Wars news and talking about Kenobi when that comes out in the next couple of weeks. But until then, may the Force be with you.